is iAmerica Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The American Civil Liberties Union applauded the decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to delay the gubernatorial recall election in California. Mark Rosenbaum, an attorney for the ACLU, characterized it as a masterpiece.
This decision wasn't written by liberals or conservatives. This was an opinion that was written by patriots.
He said it would have been a travesty of democracy to conduct the recall election with machines that had been recognized as being error-prone and decertified by the California Secretary of State. He coined it as a trapdoor in the ballot box. He said it would have disenfranchised 40,000 California voters from districts with a high proportion of minorities. Israel has taken a step back from formally declaring its intention to kill Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. The country's foreign minister has dismissed remarks by the vice premier, who said an assassination was an option. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council in New York is meeting to discuss the deteriorating situation in the Middle East. Despite the ongoing violence, the UN special representative says the U.S.-backed roadmap peace plan is not yet dead. Nathan King reports from New York.
UN Security Council continued to debate a Palestinian-backed resolution to condemn Israel for recent attacks on its people and the moves by the Israeli cabinet to exile or possibly assassinate Yasser Arafat. The resolution calls on Israel to desist from any deportation or cease any threat to the safety of the Palestinian Authority's president. It's a moderately worded text in a bid to get U.S. backing. The resolution also criticized Palestinian suicide bombers and the Israeli policy of targeted assassinations. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The United Auto Workers have reached a tentative contract deal with Chrysler. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger announced the pact just after a midnight deadline last night. Worker Mario Samonte told WDIV-TV, for the most part, he likes what he's heard of the deal so far.
But what I'm worried about is the job placement, the placement, and moving us from plant to plant whenever they want. I don't know if that's going to work out for us.
The pact is rumored to give Chrysler more job flexibility and the ability to close some plants in exchange for keeping health care benefits and a modest raise. The UAW plans to vote on it by the middle of next week.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Residents along the East Coast are preparing for the arrival of Isabel. The islands along North Carolina's Outer Banks are already being evacuated. Ocracoke Harbor Inn owner Sharon Miller says residents and tourists are already heading inland.
Starting at 12:30 today, they called for a mandatory evacuation. And the majority of the people that were here visiting have left, are in the process of leaving. So the island's getting very quiet.
The Category 4 hurricane is expected to make landfall by the end of the week. Miller says they're bringing everything inside and putting up storm panels. Right now, Isabel's winds are at 140 miles per hour. However, Miller says she plans on staying on the island during the storm. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 23 points to 94.49. The Nasdaq dropped 9 to 18.46. The S&P 500 was down 4 to 10.15. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, if you'd like to join in, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can always email us during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Yeah, Warren Zevon, last week, time just rips by when you're on vacation, doesn't it? Warren Zevon, dead last week, Johnny Cash, two music legends who are not here anymore, as well as actor John Ritter, right? We'd like to welcome WSDSAM 1480 in Salem, Detroit, Michigan, not far from Ypsilanti. Welcome to the folks who are tuning in for the first time to this program on that radio station. Also, thanks to Guy James and Curtis Ellis for guest hosting last week. Tonight, we've got, in the second hour, we're going to play a little political trivia. We're going to do it each night this week. First two winners will receive an autographed copy of Jim Hightower's new book, Thieves in High Places. And in honor of Dick Cheney's rare public appearance yesterday, tonight's trivia question is Cheney-related. I don't know what y'all do on vacation, but I go places where there's nothing to do, absolutely nothing. You just sit on the beach, maybe fish if you want to, but read. I read Joe Connison's book, Big Lies. Scary. And Al Franken's book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, another scary book. Very, very, both of them very well written. As a matter of fact, both books cover a similar subject matter, similar territory. They bitch about similar things, righteous bitching, no question about that. And if you haven't read either or both, you should. Joe Connison's book, Big Lies, and then there's a subtitle to it, and Al Franken's book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. All right? That's what I did on my vacation. I hope you have a good one, too, or something like that. Oh, God. Very weird to be back here, but back we are. We got news today that the appeals court, federal appeals court in California postponed the proposed October 7th recall election of Gray Davis out there. Interestingly, the ruling said the vote cannot proceed as scheduled because some of the votes would be cast using outmoded punch card ballot machines. Really? Sort of like what happened in Florida, yeah? All right, huh? A three-judge panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said today it's unacceptable that six counties in California would be using outdated punch card ballots. You remember that's the type that sparked the hanging chads and pregnant chads and dimpled chads and the theft of the presidency of the United States by the Bush crime family during the 2000 presidential election, right? Now, the counties involved six counties. They happen to represent almost half of the state's registered voters. The six counties are Los Angeles, Mendocino, Sacramento, San Diego, Santa Clara, and Solano. So what happens now? Well, in the first place, Daryl Issa, is it Issa? Yeah, Daryl Issa, the right-wing thug member of Congress. You missed me, didn't you, huh? You missed hearing all this kind of rage and nasty talk. The right-wing thug congressman from California is really peeing in his pants about this. Oh, well, it's a judicial hijacking. He actually said that. That the Ninth Circuit Court, who made the ruling, in Daryl Issa's words, perpetrated a judicial hijacking against the people of California. Can you believe that? Of course you can. Comes out of the mouth of a right-wing Republican thug. Now, it's not clear how this ruling will impact the campaign in this this attempt by the vast right-wing conspiracy to unseat a twice-elected governor of California, just like they attempted to unseat a twice-elected president of the United States. One possibility is that the Ninth Circuit might move the election to the next regularly scheduled primary, which is next March 2nd. Now, that would be a good idea, don't you think? So Daryl Issa and his right-wing thug accomplices, these Republican morons in California, got bad news today. It just makes me so happy. The chief expert on weapons of mass destruction at the CIA has resigned. After 26 years, right? Alan Foley. He headed the Weapons Intelligence Nonproliferation and Arms Control Center. He became entangled in the lies of the Bush crime family regarding the uranium purchase by the Iraqis in Niger, which never occurred, but was referenced in Bush's lying State of the Union address this past January. In a note to colleagues, which was reported in the Washington Post last week, Foley alluded to the pressures of recent months. He denied he had been forced out. What else we got here? All these little bits and pieces, huh? Let me see. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about this one? Wounded troops returning from Bush's bloody adventure in Iraq. Wounded troops who are going to hospitals, VA hospitals in the United States, are being billed for their meals in hospital. Now, picture this. People are arriving with their faces blown off, arms and legs missing, grievous wounds caused by anti-personnel mines, RPGs, gunfire, American soldiers. See, once again, the Bush crime family, with absolutely no concern whatsoever for the people who are fighting and dying in their filthy oil war, the Bush crime family once again lifts its leg and urinates all over American veterans. Troops wounded in combat in both Afghanistan and Iraq are getting a bill, a daily rate of $8.10 for their meals in hospital. How about that? Isn't that nice? Now, keep in mind, a lot of these soldiers who are being shot down in Afghanistan so that Bush can have his pipeline, and Iraq so that the Bush crime family can have the oil, a lot of these people are reservists. They are National Guardsmen and women who have been called up to go fight these filthy wars for the Bush crime family. These are people, these are not 19 and 20-year-olds, not all of them. Some of these people are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. They come back with war wounds. They are hospitalized. They are charged $8.10 a day for their meals while they're recovering in a hospital. Oh, my God. One soldier, this is quoted in the in Stars and Stripes, one soldier injured in Iraq in June who asked that his name not be used for fear of reprisal said, quote, to Stars and Stripes, quote, some things don't meet the common sense test, and this is one of them. It's not a good precedent. When a service member, having received wounds in Iraq, to see the first correspondence from his government after he gets out is a bill to pay for the meals during his hospital stay. This from a guy who is a 16-year Army veteran who, let me repeat, asked his name not be used in Stars and Stripes for fear of reprisal. Now, why is that law there? Why is that in place? Eh? And why wasn't it removed before the Bush crime family committed our young men and women to combat? Why is it in place? Well, it was set in place to prevent troops from double-dipping. That's according to Lieutenant Colonel Roseanne Lynch, Pentagon spokeswoman. Here's what she says, quote, deployments aside, that means going off to war, deployments aside, if any service member is in a military hospital, they are getting meals paid for by the military. If they were regularly collecting what is called the BAS, Basic Allowance for Subsistence, the monies that are received monthly for personal subsistence, then they are obligated to pay for the hospital meals. If the service member is not receiving BAS, well, they won't be charged for the meals. In a nutshell, Colonel Lynch said, a service member cannot receive the meal and the money too. What the hell do you expect? These people left an arm and a leg over there, or part of their guts, or half their face. You think we're going to pay the $8.10 a day for their meals? Now, if you happen to be an enlisted service member here in Bush's America, the fee is automatically deducted from your paycheck. If you're an officer, you have to visit the hospital cashiers and pay your meal ticket out of pocket. Now, if you've had your legs blown off and you can't get to the hospital cashier, I don't know, what do they do, cut off your food? Paying for it. Depending on whether or not you're enlisted or an officer. That's according to a spokesman at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, where approximately 1,250 patients from Operation Iraqi Freedom have been treated since the war began. What? 1,250 at one military hospital? 1,250? Wait a second. How many wounded have we suffered in Iraq? How many wounded have we suffered in Afghanistan? That's right. I don't know. And neither do you. And neither does anybody. That's classified. Jesus. Well, I didn't mean to come back and cheer everybody up, but we're going to have some fun with Dick and media whore number one, Tim Russert, a little later in the program. We have some amazing sound clips for you from the bionic vice president's appearance on Meet the Press yesterday. Typical of his obsession with secrecy, the thug, Cheney, crawled out of his hidey hole only to claim over and over again that he knows nothing about anything. You got to hear this to believe it. And we're probably going to do it right after the break at the bottom of the hour. But there is Dick Cheney, saying he doesn't know anything. Oh, we don't know anything about weapons. We don't know anything. Car, we don't know anything. Duration, we don't know anything. No, we don't know anything, Tim. Sorry, Tim, we know nothing. All right, we're at 800 Talk Yes. Let's hear from you. I'm Mike Malloy. We fight for, don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next up is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why. We're all going to die. Well, come on, throughout the land, pack your boys up to Vietnam. Come on, folks, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die.
check the batteries in your smoke detector and the air in your tires to protect your family. But how about your credit report? Experts recommend you check it regularly, too. And FreeCreditReport.com makes it easy. Log on today, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. A surprise on your credit report could cause you to be turned down for a loan or a credit card. See your credit report online instantly. Make sure you get the credit you deserve with FreeCreditReport.com.
Hi, Tom Baudette for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my Molloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when you do that.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour again, and welcome to listeners at 1480 AM WSDS in near Ypsilanti, Michigan, but they say Salem, Detroit, right? Salem, Detroit. WSDS AM 1480, Salem, Detroit. Welcome to the program. 800-TALK, yes, is number. Levi is calling from Georgia, and I believe Levi is an officer in the military.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a finance officer, and I know all about what you're talking about when you're saying the BAS, when you draw BAS,
right,
and you have to pay for your own meals. And that's a very common occurrence throughout the Department of Defense that's been happening for years. We did the same thing for our troops that came out of Somalia and Bosnia.
Yeah, why? That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. You're right. And you know, this is one of the things when you work for a government organization. These are some of the struggles that we go through. How you have certain entitlements at certain times, and certain times you don't get entitlements.
But the outrageous part to me is these are people who have been wounded. These are not just combat veterans. These are combat veterans who have been hit, who are in a hospital, and are being told they have to pay $8.10 a day for their meals.
Well, that's true, and it's kind of it's not really a Bush thing or it's a government thing. And what it does is they say, hey, we're going to pay you $220 a month for food.
Right, I understand.
I understand
how that works, Levi. But wouldn't you think that with the several months long buildup, with these fanatics that operate in the Bush crime family, the buildup to this attack on Iraq, and prior to that the attack on Afghanistan, but especially Iraq, which was absolutely had nothing to do with 9/11, that they would have said something to the effect, listen, we're going to suspend the stupid $8.10 a day rule for all you Americans who are going to go over there and get shot to pieces and come back and be flat on your backs or in wheelchairs or paraplegic or quadriplegics. You get my point.
Yeah, I do. I get your point. I think you're right on. And I think the problem, though, is I think your anger is directed shouldn't be directed toward the Bush administration as much as to the Department of Defense as a whole.
Not really just
Secretary Rumsfeld, but that's the way the Congress has always dictated.
Well, I think
the military should be paid.
You know, Rumsfeld and or Bush are capable, certainly Bush is, and so is Rumsfeld, of issuing executive orders. They don't need Congress's permission to do this.
No, they don't.
Nobody needs anybody's permission. The Bush crime family, anybody in the Bush crime family, I'm talking about the President, the Vice President, Secretary of Defense, could order this suspended, could say, look, in the first place, these wars are optional wars. Both of these wars were optional. Remember, I don't need to remind anybody who listens to this program that 15 of the 19 bombers who allegedly hit this country came from Saudi Arabia. We didn't attack Saudi Arabia. We attacked Afghanistan. All right? So you can, if you choose, to make an argument that it was an elective to go after Afghanistan. It was certainly an elective to go after Iraq. If that is the case, and I think it is the case, then perhaps it would have been wise for the Bush crime family to suspend this. When you have officers saying to Stars and Stripes, veterans who have been in the service for 16 years, saying, look, don't use my name, but I think this sucks. When you have people in uniform who are complaining about this, I didn't know anything about that. I wouldn't have said a thing about this, except it shows up in Stars and Stripes.
Well, I agree, and that's one of the things that we feel in the military. I'm not going to sit there and tell you what I feel about the president, because that's my job as a military officer.
I understand.
My boss. However, I think most of us in the military agree there are some really weird policies, especially in the areas of pay. I've been in the Air Force, like I say, 8+ years now, and I've done pay. That's my career. And when I was out fighting Operation Enduring Freedom, in a foreign country, I had pay problems out there dealing with reservists, but I just don't feel, I don't say that, hey, this is really the administration that comes. During Somalia, same issue.
Right.
The same policy was in place. During Bosnia, the same policy was Kosovo, same policy in place. And the other administration didn't make that change either.
Maybe it's time to end it if we're going to have.
I agree.
If we're going to have preemptive wars. Maybe it's time to end that. Hey, listen, I'm glad you called in, Levi. Thank you very much.
Take care. Great show.
All right, sir. You take care also. Quick break here. We'll be back. When we do come back, Dick Cheney. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Because I don't see no ticker tape.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart now faces 37 lawsuits in 29 states over its practice of forcing workers to spend time on the job off the clock. The latest case was filed Friday in Minnesota by four women who claimed they were made to come in early, work late, and skip breaks, primarily to tidy up the store floor. Their lawyers estimate the company squeezed some 500,000 hours of unpaid labor out of its Minnesota workforce in the last 5 years. The women seek class action status on behalf of more than 60,000 current and former Walmart workers. The discount behemoths already settled a similar class action lawsuit in Colorado for $50 million, and another is pending in Indiana.
The fifth ministerial meeting of the World Trade Organization collapsed yesterday under protest both inside and out of the globalization summit. Inside the meetings, talks were scuttled after Kenya's trade minister led a walkout by poor countries over rich nations' farm sector subsidies and export credits.
2 weeks ago, the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, Dick Grasso, found himself in the middle of a firestorm of criticism when it was revealed he's getting a $140 million lump sum payment for his work overseeing the trading operation. Grasso initially claimed to have no say in his pay, that is, until a foot-high stack of documents was unearthed last week, detailing how he lobbied for his own windfall. The reason? Grasso told the New York Stock Exchange's board of directors he needed the sky-high compensation in order to remain competitive and respected among the corporate executives he has to work with every day. Making matters worse comes a new disclosure that Grasso was to get an additional $48 million in compensation over the next 4 years. He has since agreed to forfeit that, but stands firm on the other $140 million.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk That's about right. what you do to your animals well, and what your animals do to you. Deal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Firebat.
Zebra. Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Everyone knows it's Cheney. With Cheney, I could go far.
You better learn CPR.
'Cause Cheney's heart is subpar. Don't die on me.
I'm your VP.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. A quick email here from Shirley, who emails in, why shouldn't the vets who have lost lives and limbs from a war that was declared because of falsified papers and out-and-out lies ask for reimbursement? Yeah. Keep in mind that the American, we're only talking about the Americans here. There are other members of other militaries involved. But the American men and women who are in Afghanistan, who are in Iraq fighting the Bush crime family's filthy illegal war, they were sent there on false pretenses entirely. Do you understand that? Remember the weapons of mass destruction? It's being reported in the London press here, the U.S. and Britain have decided to delay indefinitely the publication of a full report on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Remember those? Eh? The London-based Sunday Times newspaper said inspectors had found no evidence any such arms exist. Now, these were efforts by the Iraq Survey Group.
Not that damned old United Nations.
The Iraq Survey Group, an Anglo-American team of 14 1,500 scientists, military and intelligence experts. They have been scouring Iraq for the past 4 months to find those biological and chemical and nuclear weapons. So far, nothing. Nothing. The Sunday Times reported that British defense intelligence sources had confirmed that the group's final report has been delayed and may not ever be published. Weapons of mass destruction. That's why we send Americans to die. That's why we send Americans to kill. That's why we send Americans who come back wounded and have to pay $8.10 for their meals in hospital. 1,400 American and British experts. No weapons. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Is that an impeachable offense? Now, you want to hear some real craziness? Dick Cheney came out of his hidey hole. This cowardly, snidely whiplash thug comes out of his hidey hole to make a rare public appearance. On Media Whore number one, Tim Russert's little program on NBC yesterday. Shall we begin?
The Washington Post asked the American people about Saddam Hussein. And this is what they said. 69% said he was involved in the September 11th attacks. Are you surprised by that?
No, I think it's not surprising that people make that connection.
But is there a connection?
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. 69% said that Saddam Hussein was involved in the September 11th attacks. I mean, all together now, let's just repeat after me. God, we're stupid! Ready? One, two, three. God, we're stupid! So Media Whore number one says to Dick Cheney, are you surprised by that number? No, I don't think so. Is there a connection? Oh, we don't know. There it is. There it is. The weapons of mass destruction don't exist. The connection between Saddam Hussein and the September 11th attack. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. Tim tries to ask about the Saudi involvement in September 11th. But, you know, when you listen to this, the question pops in your head. Why bother having an interview if the subject of the interview, Dick Cheney, won't answer any questions?
There are reports that the investigation Congress did does show a link between the Saudi government and the hijackers, but it will not be released to the public.
I don't want to speculate on that, Tim, partly because I was involved in reviewing those pages. It was the judgment of our senior intelligence officials, both CIA and FBI, that that material needed to remain classified.
Oh, God, I wish he would walk in front of a microwave oven. I really do. I don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. The link between the Saudi government and the hijackers? What?
Well, Tim, you know, I was involved in reviewing those pages. It was the judgment of our senior intelligence officials in the Carlyle Group and, you know, Pappy Bush and me. And, you know, we decided to keep this information from the American public because if you dumbasses in the American public ever figured out what happened, you guys would do what Pat Buchanan said. You'd get ropes and burning torches and you'd descend on us and, oh, it would be messy. Never mind. Next question, Tim.
Tim is more than willing.
Vanity Fair magazine reports that about 140 Saudis were allowed to leave the United States the day after the 11th, allowed to leave our airspace, and were never investigated by the FBI. And that departure was approved by high-level administration figures. Do you know anything about that?
I don't.
Do you know anything about that, Dick, since you run the government?
No, I don't know. Nope. Don't know a thing. Next question, Tim.
Next question, Tim. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the cost of the war.
Joe Lieberman, the senator from Connecticut, running for president, had this to say. What President Bush gave the American people on Sunday night was a price tag, $87 million, not a plan. And we in Congress must demand a plan. What is our plan for Iraq? How long will the 140,000 American soldiers be there? How many international troops will join them? And how much is this going to cost?
Well, some of those questions are unknowable at present, Tim. It'll depend on developments, depend on how fast it takes us to achieve our objectives.
Yeah.
So how long will it take?
I don't know.
I don't know. I can't say. I don't think anybody can say with absolute certainty at this point.
Yeah, so quit asking the dumbass questions, Tim. I'm the vice president. We want your money. We're going to get all the money. We're going to get tax cuts. We get $87 billion here. We got $79 billion back in March. We're going to continue to get billions upon billions upon billions out of these stupid American taxpayers' pocketbook. Don't you understand that, Tim? Don't you get it, Tim, what we're about here? Next question, Tim. Next question. All right. Tim tries again on the war cost. Not only does Cheney not know what the war will cost, the drunk Donald Rumsfeld doesn't know either.
In terms of cost, Mr. Vice President, there are suggestions. Again, it was a misjudgment by the administration or even misleading. Lawrence Lindsay, who used to work for the White House, had predicted it would be $1 to $200 billion for the war. And Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, went before Congress and said this: we're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction relatively soon, and that oil revenues would generate between $50 and $100 billion over the course of the next two or three years. It looks like the administration truly misjudged the cost of this operation.
You know, I didn't see a one-point estimate there that you could say this is the administration's estimate. We didn't know.
We don't know.
If you ask Secretary Rumsfeld, for example, I can remember from his briefings, he said repeatedly he didn't know.
Oh, nobody knows. Okay. All right. Okay. Dick? Sure. Nobody knows anything. 100 million, 50 billion, 1,000 billion, a trillion billion, a quintillion, septillion, sextillion, octillion, onillion, decillion? We don't know! What's the matter with you, Tim? Isn't it time to go to commercials? And poor little Tim Russert, media whore number one.
You notice how he just... Well, you know, Mr. Vice President, there was $50 billion, $100 billion, Lawrence Lindsay, you know, please, can I shine your boots?
Now, feigning ignorance on how much the UN will contribute to the war cause, how much the Iraqis will contribute to oil, and how much more Americans will have to cough up. Here's our bionic vice president.
The UN resolution now that Colin Powell's been working on this weekend involves as well authorization for the international financial institutions to come support that. There's money at the UN left over in the oil for food program that's going to be available.
Oh, yeah.
There are funds on frozen Iraqi assets, various places.
How much is all that?
I don't have a final dollar for you.
Is the $87 billion the end of it? Will the American people be asked for any more money? I can't say that.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have a final figure.
Oh, I like the... There's money at the UN left over in the oil for food program.
What? $8.90?
There are funds frozen. Iraqi assets in various places. No. No, Dick. Iraq is... What was the figure I've heard batted around? Iraq is in debt to the tune of $100 billion. There are Iraqi assets? Where? Dick. And there he sits and lies. You know, I found it interesting... Down at the beach, reading Joe Connison's book, Big Lies, and Al Franken's book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. You know, it's almost like unnecessary repetition. Lie, liars, lying, lies, 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 liar, lyings, lies, 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 liar, lie. Here's Dick Cheney on Media Whore number one, Tim Russert show, yesterday, lying through his teeth. Now, let's listen while Dick Cheney pretends he didn't know the Niger uranium lie was a lie.
I want to talk about something very specific, and that was the president at the State of the Union message when he said that the British had learned that Saddam was acquiring uranium for Africa. Then, that was in January. Now, Ambassador Joe Wilson, a year before that, was sent over by the CIA because you raised the question about uranium from Africa. He says he came back from Niger and said that, in fact, he could not find any documentation that, in fact, Niger had sent uranium to Iraq or engaged in that connectivity, and reported it back to the proper channels. Were you briefed on his findings in February, March of 2002?
No. I don't know Joe Wilson. I've never met Joe Wilson. I don't know who sent Joe Wilson. He never submitted a report that I ever saw when he came back.
Yeah, I don't know Joe Wilson. Who's Joe Wilson? Oh, is he the guy that parks my car? I don't know Joe Wilson. Who's Joe Wilson? He was an ambassador, you moron! He was sent by the CIA, you freak!
I don't know who. Joe Wilson? I don't know any Joe Wilson. Who's Joe Wilson? I never met Joe Wilson. Next question, Tim. Please, let's move on. What are you asking me?
I don't know anything.
He owes nothing. Now, Cheney also said during this interview with Media Whore Number 1 that he had nothing to do in helping his former oil services company, Halliburton, get multi-billions of U.S. government contracts in Iraq. He also hinted that the $87 billion this corrupt, filthy Bush crime family has asked Congress to provide to rebuild the country might not be the last such request. Cheney said, it's all we think we'll need for the foreseeable future, for this year. The foreseeable future for this year? That's as far. Well, if you're Dick Cheney and you're walking around with an automatic can opener in your chest, yeah, I guess the foreseeable future would maybe be just this year. Oh, my God. Cheney expressed some regret about the casualties. You know, the people being blown up and being killed? Americans. Again, we're only referring to Americans here. Cheney said the price that we've had to pay is not out of line and certainly wouldn't lead me to suggest or think that the strategy is flawed or needs to be changed. I'll tell you what, Dick, how about we do this? How about we gather up maybe 50 dead American soldiers' families and put you in a room with them and you tell them that the price we've had to pay for your filthy, disgusting oil war, that the price of these dead young men and women is not out of line. Tell them that, Dick. Don't sit there with Media Whore Number 1 Tim Russert and say it's not out of line. Tell that to the families of the dead Americans. Think you could do that? Cheney then bristled at the suggestion that his leadership role in Halliburton might have helped the company get the no-bid contracts, right? Billions! Billions! Here's Tim Russert.
The size and scope of the government contracts awarded to Halliburton in connection with the war in Iraq are significantly greater than was previously disclosed and demonstrate the U.S. military increasing reliance on for-profit corporations to run its logistical operations. Why is there no bidding?
I have no idea. Go ask the Corps of Engineers.
I have no idea. What the hell, Tim? Go ask the Corps of Engineers. I have nothing to do with this. You know, I have nothing to do with this at all. Cheney got more than $30 million. When he, quote, sold, close quote, his holdings in Halliburton after becoming vice president. I have no financial interest in Halliburton of any kind, haven't had now for over 3 years, he told Media Whore Number 1 Tim Russert. Since I left Halliburton to become George Bush's vice president, I've severed all my ties with the company. And as that vice president, I have absolutely no influence or involvement or knowledge in any shape or form of the contracts let by the U.S. Corps of Engineers or anybody else in the federal government. I have no idea. Go ask the Corps of Engineers. Cheney called suggestions of impropriety on his part, quote, political cheap shots, end quote. You know, it's those damn filthy Democrats. It's a political season, Tim. Yeah, they're all running for president. Just cheap shots. Just cheap shots. Nobody, Cheney added, has produced one single shred of evidence that there's anything wrong or inappropriate here. Well, you know, I'm reminded of my long ago dead grandmother, and I've mentioned this on this program before. When I would tell a lie, she would take me into the bathroom of her house in Findlay, Ohio, and pry my jaws open and take a chunk of lava soap and wash my mouth out with soap. I can think of nothing I would rather do. Okay, there might be one or two things. But in the top five would be to put my arm around Dick Cheney's head, pry his mouth open, take a piece of lava soap, and wash his mouth out for lying. Wouldn't that be fun? Huh? Wouldn't that be fun? As far as that $87 billion that Bush... you know, we try not to watch TV. We try not to while we're here, Kathy and I. We tried not to when we were on vacation. But we had to watch... this little weasel give his speech where he asked for the weasel being Bush, his $87 billion request. You know, we watched some of that. Here is this scared little doofus of a man. This little fake a naval aviator on national television talking about $87 billion on top of the $79 billion this weasel squeezed out of the United States taxpayer. How long ago? 4 months ago? 5 months ago? You want to know what that $87 billion represents? We'll get to that in a few minutes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Anacor Hotel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Vice President, I've got great confidence in the Vice President, doing a heck of a good job. When I picked him, I knew he was a fine business leader and a fine, experienced man. And that matter will run its course.
Yeah.
The Halliburton investigation.
Yeah, it'll run its course. We'll bury that one, too, just like we buried everything else. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. Well, I don't know if I may have missed it yesterday. Did you notice that the media war number one asked Mr. Cheney about the ruling that came down by the three-judge panel, I think, that said Mr. Cheney does have to turn over those papers from the...
I don't know if that came up, but I'm sure this will just continue, this little chess game. Eventually, they'll go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will say, look, the executive branch, unlike the Clinton executive branch, the Bush executive branch is protected under the Constitution of the United States, and you don't have to turn over the papers.
I know. Did you notice also every question, I think, that Russert asked? There was no follow-up. He just went on to another subject.
Well, yeah, that's because Russert is media whore number one. He's a coward. He was sitting there. You couldn't see it, but underneath that desk, he was peeing all over himself because there he sits with the most vicious, vile, mass murderer probably in the history of this country across the desk from him, Dick Cheney. And every time Cheney answers a question, you ever notice how that little sneer, that snidely whiplash thing happens around his the left side of his face? I don't know. That could be, or is that the right side of his face? I don't know. It could be because, you know, his parkometer in his chest keeps short-circuiting. I have no idea, but that sneer is there.
Yeah. Did you see the other thing? Lost there for a second. you know how it is. Sometimes there's so many of them, you just want to just jump on all of them.
I know.
I called Kathy when I called in. Did you get to see the Now Friday night with the 9/11 widows?
I did not.
It was good. They had the four of them and showed what they've been through.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the meeting I think they had with Mueller a couple of months ago.
The FBI director?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about him, you know, asking about, you know, they wanted some questions answered. And, of course, that was no chance.
No.
But they were sitting there going, you know, why didn't you go to all these flight schools, you know, when you had the Phoenix memos and all this and check them out? And they said, well, there are thousands of flight schools. We couldn't have checked them all.
Right.
Then one of them turned around and said, well, then how on September 12th did you know which flight school in Florida to go to?
Really? And what did he say?
We got lucky. And I mean, it was just, you know, it's like you're just sitting there going.
I know.
I mean, it's like, like I say, these four ladies, I hope they appear on some more national TV because I tell you, their story, you know, and some of the things.
Yeah.
Oh, I know there are a whole bunch of them last week. The one I was loving, I was reading one on Philly.com by William Bunch.
Yeah.
It's why don't we have the questions, answers to these 9/11 questions, like 20 questions.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
I mean, there's just so many of them. It's just one right after the other. It's just, I like the one the other night, David Letterman.
Yeah.
The only place you ever get any good commentary anymore.
Yeah.
Was he said, they were talking about it, and he said, just remember, George, when you get that 87 billion, Halliburton spelled with two L's.
There you go. Thanks, Luke.
Bye.
All right, sir. Take care. But I heard the general whispering to his aide de camp.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A masterpiece, that's how the Southern California chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union characterizes an appeals court injunction to stop California's October 7th gubernatorial recall election. Mark Rosenbaum with the ACLU says the decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals speaks volumes about the American dream of every vote counts. He argues that if the vote were held today, the state's antiquated voting systems would have disenfranchised tens of thousands of voters of color and low income. Rosenbaum adds that the court's ruling affirms a basic fundamental of democracy, that is, of and by or for all the people. Delegates are heading home following the collapse of the World Trade Organization talks in Cancun, Mexico. The negotiations broke down over bitter divisions between rich and poor countries. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan is disappointed by the outcome.
I had expected it to achieve much more than they achieved. I had hoped all along that we would try to retain some of the spirit of Doha and really try and come up with an agreement that would be beneficial to developing countries as they try to improve their own situation.
The row over the refusal of rich nations to cut huge subsidies to their farmers has left the WTO struggling to meet a January 2005 deadline to finish a new free trade accord.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Despite the month-long effort of two tree sitters, loggers today began cutting down trees in a Massachusetts state park west of Boston. The environmental activists named Badger and Dandy adopted the protect tactics more commonly used against logging operations on the West Coast. The two environmentalists are perched in the upper branches of two giant red oaks in Wachusett Mountain. They say the park has a rare old-growth forest. The logging company says they have permission from the state's highest court to clear the area. The trees are being cleared to build two ski trails in the park. A new contract between Goodyear Tire and Rubber and the United Steelworkers of America is being held by labor and management as groundbreaking. The company's largest union, representing 19,000 workers and 22,000 retirees, said today its members have overwhelmingly approved a new 3-year contract. The union gets a seat on the company's board of directors and also improved job security. In return, management gets to reduce wages and benefits and close one plant in Huntsville, Alabama. Goodyear has lost $1.3 billion in the past 2 years and is expected to lose money again this year.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications Visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
The chief negotiator for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is talking about their settlement with the teachers' union. Tom McDonald reports a plan is in place to make up days lost during the strike.
Chief Archdiocese of Philadelphia negotiator Kevin McGovern says they're happy the high school teacher walkout is over, but it shouldn't have happened.
From our point of view, yes, the whole strike was unnecessary. I'm not speaking for the union, nor am I criticizing the decisions that individuals made that got them to that situation.
The Archdiocese plans to cancel Holy Days and other school holidays to make up the time and the pay teachers had to forego during the walkout. Tom McDonald, Philadelphia.
Mixed economic data from the manufacturing sector and fears over Hurricane Isabel sent stocks declining today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 23 points to 94.49. The NASDAQ dropped 9 to 18.46. The S&P 500 was down by 4 to 10.15. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Seven past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. All right. Before we go to the phone calls, as promised, we're going to do a little political trivia each night this week. And the first two correct answers will win an autographed copy of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places. So what we're going to do here, I will ask the question, and then for you folks that are holding on right now so that you have a fair shot at this, Kathy will quickly go down the calls here and see if you have the answer. Okay? Now, the prize you win, prizes, the first two correct answers will win an autographed copy of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places. Okay, here's your question. How did Chicken Hawk Dick Cheney avoid military service during the Vietnam era? How did Dick Cheney, Chicken Hawk number one, avoid military service during the Vietnam era? Was it because A, Army doctors found a defect in his heart and he got a medical deferment? B. He got a student, he got a series of student deferments, then knocked up Lynn Cheney. Or C, he showed up drunk at his induction center. Okay? How did Chicken Hawk Dick Cheney avoid military service during the Vietnam era? A, was it because Army doctors found a defect in his heart and he got a medical deferment? Is it B, he got student deferments, then knocked up Lynn Cheney? Or is it C, he showed up drunk at his induction center? Okay? All right, Kathy, blow through the calls here and see if you can find out if anybody has the right answer to that. Well, you got one already? Okay. Well, I thought it was a tough question. It's not a tough question. All right. All right, while Kathy's doing that, let's talk with Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge, you know the answer to that?
Well, I'm going to go with B, but I don't know.
You're going to go with B?
Mm-hmm.
He got deferments and then knocked up Lynn Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Kathy, we have our second. All right, stay on the line, and Kathy will get your mailing address, Marge, and we'll send you a copy of this.
But can I talk to you in the meanwhile?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
You know, your previous caller was talking about those four women from New Jersey.
Yeah.
They were something else. I mean, they started out, you know, not knowing exactly what they were going to do or how they're going to do it, but, boy, they're working at it.
Yeah.
And they are not going to take standard answer number 16 out of the Green Rule Book from any of these yokels.
I don't think so. These are the four women I read about in, what was it, Time? They were on the cover of Time or Newsweek here?
I think, yeah. They're starting to get some recognition, and they were on with Bill Moyers on Now this past week. Well, for some reason, across the country it's on Friday night, but here in Chicago they decided to put it on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the other things I wanted to tell you. They were interviewing a guy named George Soros. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, sure. The billionaire who is allegedly a liberal. He's more of a libertarian.
He wrote a book called Open Society.
Right.
And he has contributed, are you sitting down?
Yes.
$10 million to stop George Bush.
Yeah. This is part of that group. I read about this also. Yeah, Soros, he's also the person behind, this is a very trivial thing, unless you're locked up in prison. He's behind many efforts to decriminalize or, in fact, legalize stupid-ass marijuana. So, you know, Soros has been involved in all sorts of left libertarian ideas and propositions, and he puts his money where his mouth is. Bless his heart.
Most assuredly. I mean, you know, what he just flat out came out and said that the free market society does not take care of the social needs of the world.
Right.
And
maybe I shouldn't call him a left libertarian. Maybe I should call him more of a left, I don't know, a left capitalist, I guess. He's not really a libertarian. You're right. He does believe in social responsibility, and libertarians of the left or the right stripe kind of stay away from that. You know, libertarians stay away from the idea of government intervention in anything.
And it's something called America Coming Together. I don't know if that's a website or what it was, but that's what he called it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I says, you know, the guy asked him, he says that he contributed to stopping Milosevic.
Right.
And the interviewer, it wasn't Bill Moyer, he was someplace else. He says, Milosevic and Bush. And he's hum, 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 hum.
Right.
Notice the similarities?
Yeah, very, very good. Very good combination. We talk about that, the similarities between these two thugs frequently on this program, as you know. So Soros contributed $10 million. I know that you're wealthy, retired multimillionaire. When are you going to kick in $10 million, Marge?
Oh, well, I have to go down to the credit union and see how much I got in my piggy bank.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold and count.
You got more? Yeah, I got more.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
If you can get a hold of Ski Anderson, he got an email from an Indiana National Guardsman about how the supplies are holding up in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth reading.
Okay.
I got one last serious question for you. I don't know what you're going to do.
All right.
I saw an article in the paper this past week that your beloved Krispy Kremes has made a deal with the devil.
Uh-oh, what?
They're going to open up shop in Walmart in Mount Airy, North Carolina. What are you going to do?
Well, I've had to stop eating Krispy Kremes, frankly, because too much sugar.
And
too much grease. I very seldom do I eat Krispy Kremes anymore. But the fact that they've made a deal with the Antichrist, which is Walmart, that's really sad.
You know, I read that and I thought, oh my God.
Well, it's good news though if you're a shareholder in Krispy. You know, Krispy Kreme just went public a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and if you're a shareholder, are you drinking something, Marge? If you're a shareholder in Krispy Kreme, that's good news. Open up in Walmart, right?
Well, I what can I tell you?
I don't know.
Sugar and fat, you know, it's going to kill us. You got to die from something.
That's right. That's right.
Anyhow.
Well, I know. It all comes out in the wash. All right.
Take care, my friend.
All right. Hold on. Kathy will get your mailing address. And we have our two winners, right? Marge and Marival and who else? I think this is our other winner here of the Hightower book is John in Pottsville, PA. Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
You were talking earlier about the GIs having to pay for their food.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
In hospital here in the United States, right.
Well, that's sick. But what's worse than that, I was watching the Hawkins, his barbecue thing he has every year.
Oh, Senator Harkin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out in Iowa.
Right.
He had all the candidates, all the Democrats. A candidate's there, and Miss Mosley Brown
right.
made a statement that caught me up short. It seems that the Bush administration has decided that no more what we used to call combat pay
right.
after October 1st, no matter what's going on over there.
What? I hadn't heard about this. No more.
Yeah, that's the statement she made.
How can they do that? How can they end combat pay for people who are in combat zones?
Well, I guess the crime family can do it. I don't know.
God, this is a new one on me, John. Maybe somebody will send me a link.
Well, I found something. A fellow that's running for Senate called Blair. He has a website, and he's talking about there was promises for what they call intimate danger pay.
Right.
That they were supposed to get, and that promise isn't being taken care of. And also, they're talking about. Yeah, separation pay.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting that either. So I sent you a link to the website for that.
Isn't this disgusting? I mean, every time you turn around, I don't understand how people who are active duty or reserve or National Guard who've been called to active duty, how they can continue to support. I realize they have to under the Universal Code of Military Justice. They have no choice here.
Yeah.
But while they're in service, when they come home wounded, when they get out of the service, the Bush crime family, it just treats them all as if they were nothing but pigs, just stupid pigs. I don't want to get started on that again.
They had this poor young fella on TV. I guess they interviewed him. He lost, I think, his legs and one of his eyes or his eyesight.
Yeah.
And he's saying it was worth it to him to go over to Iraq and all this, you know, it was the right thing to do. And it just seems so pathetic.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, are they at least buying this guy his lunch?
I don't know. Was he a young soldier?
Fellow.
Wait till he finds out how the VA is going to screw him for the rest of his life.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right. Wait till he finds out that he gave up limbs and his eyesight based on lies. Wait till he finds out that the only people benefiting from this attack against Iraq are well-connected members of the Bush crime family. I wonder if, I'm sorry to say this, I really am, it breaks my heart, but I wonder if he will then say that it was the right thing to do.
Well, chances are, when he does learn it, he ain't going to have no way to tell us.
I know.
You know, they're not going to put him on the air again.
No.
You know, so he can say, hey, you know, I was lied to. Look what happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
what a country.
It's awful. John, thanks. I'm glad you got the copy of the book. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm going to definitely read it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. All right. We've got our two. We'll do it. We're going to do it all this week. Okay. Different questions, of course, but all this week, if you want a copy of Jim Hightower's new book, we will have a trivia question for you, usually the second hour of the program each night, and autographed. How about that? William is calling from North Carolina, our bureau chief there. Hey, William.
Yes, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
To both of you. Miss both of you. I just wanted to comment on tonight. I was watching CNN. And I'm like you, I try to avoid any of the mainstream anything. However, Anderson Cooper, 360, I guess,
yeah,
is how it's billed or whatever. All the statements that Cheney that you played,
mm-hmm.
He played past comments that totally contradicted him.
Did he?
And I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is great, because this is a little bit of a glimmer of some truth-finding,
mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that they were doing it. And but they gave him, they had him make a statement, and then they said, well, but this is what he said several months ago,
mm-hmm.
went back and played him, and I thought, all right,
I'll be
finally.
Damned. That's incredible. What makes it maybe understandable is what Christiane Amanpour said. Where was this? It was last week. She was on Topic A with Tina Brown on CNBC. Tina Brown is a former Talk magazine editor. She had Christiane Amanpour and Al Franken and former Pentagon spokesman Tori Clark on, and they were talking about war coverage by the media. And Christiane Amanpour said that CNN practiced censorship. And so maybe you know, this is out there in the media now. I don't know how many people know about it, but maybe that's why Anderson Cooper was trying to repair the damage.
Well, I hope they repair a whole lot of it, because if they do that, it won't be long before people start putting two and two together, because, it was just so obvious. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to send off a real quick email to them and say, keep it up. It's a glimmer.
I hear that.
I just got done with...
Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you in a second, William. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
A few years ago, a Japanese official was arrested after police discovered 400 pieces of women's underwear in his home. He proclaimed innocence by saying, "I picked up all lingerie on the streets by pure chance." We still have our underwear in America, but we've been stripped of a garment far more precious, our democracy. We've been able to hold our diverse and sprawling country together over the decades because of one thing, our people's ingrained belief in America's democratic values of fairness, justice, and opportunity for all. But something has gone terribly wrong in our country. The essence of democracy, our power to control the decisions that affect us, has steadily been pilfered by corporate kleptocrats. They've collected up our democratic powers piece by piece, taking these powers into their own private fiefdoms. These elites, backed by the political elites they've bought, now effectively control everything, from our wages to war, from what's on the news to who gets elected. This has not taken place by pure chance, but through deliberate filching, which has now devolved into wholesale looting. These thieves in high places, as I called them in my new book, have pulled off a slow-motion coup, radically wrenching America from being a people's republic to kleptocrat nation. This would be horribly depressing, except for one thing that definitely has not changed in our land. The people, you rascals, still have that tenacious belief in America's historic democratic values. As I crisscross our country, I am buoyed by the fact that ordinary folks everywhere are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the thieves, fighting for everything from living wages to fair trade, privacy to peace. This is Jim Hightower saying, this truly is America's story, the story of grassroots people agitating and organizing to take America back from those thieves in high places.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
24 past the hour, 800-TALK-YES is the number here. We're talking with William in North Carolina, our bureau chief there.
Yes, sir.
Where were we?
I just wanted to mention I just finished Al Franken's book, and it's great. It really is.
Isn't it? That's an amazing book. And the research, of what he called Team Franken, the 12 or 15 students, I guess it was 12, that conducted the research. I'm sure people will go through that book on the right with a fine-tooth comb.
Oh, you bet.
They will find not a single misquote, a single lie, a single overstatement.
There's a few things that I found out I didn't know, and it's well worth reading. It's fun. But boy, it's dead on, and it's sad, you know, all the crap. But he puts it in a pretty humorous kind of way, and tells a pretty good story.
Yeah, the next one you got to read is Joe Connison's book,
definitely,
which is not as it's a quicker read, and Connison is not humorous, so his stuff is a little drier. I mean, it's a perfectly good read. It's just not as witty, I guess is the right term, as Al Franken's book. But I read Connison's book first, and then went to Franken's. And while they both cover some of the same territory, it's amazing. And these books are on the New York Times. I think both of them are on the top 10 bestseller list. I think Al Franken's book is at number one.
Well, yeah, thanks to
Fox News Channel. Hey, William, thanks for checking in, pal.
Yes, sir, thank you.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening. All right, Nathan sent me this story. This is back from August, and yeah, we did cover this. The Pentagon. This was a month ago. Troops could lose raise in combat pay, and it's sparking some outrage in the military. And what it said, it was from the Seattle newspaper. The Pentagon wants to cut the pay of its 148,000 U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, who already are contending with guerrilla-style attacks, homesickness, 120-degree-plus heat. Unless Congress and Bush take action when Congress returns after Labor Day, hello, that's now, the uniformed Americans in Iraq and the 9,000 troops in Afghanistan will lose a pay increase approved this past April of $75 a month in imminent danger pay and $150 a month in family separation allowances. $75 a month. Take a deep breath, Mike. The Defense Department says its budget can't sustain the higher payments with its other priorities. The article says, but the proposed cuts have stirred anger among military families and veterans groups and even prompted an editorial attack in the Army Times, a weekly newspaper for military personnel and their families that is seldom this outspoken. And it goes on, yada, yada, yada. Imminent danger pay given to Army, Navy, Marine, and Air Force members in combat zones was raised to $225 a month from $150 a month. What they're trying to do, what the Bush crime family wants to do, is cut that back to $150. The family separation allowance, which goes to help military families pay rent or child care or food while the soldiers are away, was raised from $100 a month to $250. And these thuggish bastards in the Defense Department want to cut that money from the families and from the soldiers. Good God. Good God. Thanks, Nathan. I remember when we covered this. We quoted the article in Army Times, right, Kathy? Thank you, Nathan. Now, the CNN story, very quickly, and then back to your calls. From USA Today, CNN's top war correspondent, Christiane Amanpour, says that the press muzzled itself during the Iraq War. Now listen to this sentence. And, she says, CNN was intimidated by the Bush administration and Fox News, which put a climate of fear and self-censorship on the reporting. They were afraid of the Bush administration and Fox News, CNN? More on this in just a moment.
Here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A cooperative approach to solving water shortages could help keep rival users out of court. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Conflicts over fresh water are becoming more common and will only get worse, according to an analyst for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. William Wierick says growing population in the West and South are putting a strain on resources. Wierick has been working with a collaborative method to resolve water conflicts. It's called shared vision planning, and it involves everyone with a stake in the outcome working together on a computer model of the disputed water resource.
So that you have environmental groups, government regulation agencies, user groups, and stakeholders, they all work together with kind of a computer alternative to reality where people can try out solutions without any risk that any real damage will occur.
Wierick says participants can see what happens if an upstream community takes more water from a river or farms ramp up their irrigation.
Model a watershed, develop alternatives, even some crazy ones if you want to, and see what the impacts of that are. And because you do this with such a broad array of people, stakeholders, experts, decision makers, you're more apt to look at the impacts that people really care about.
Wierick says shared vision planning is still fairly experimental, but he says it already helped in a dispute between Georgia, Alabama, and Florida.
When we first applied shared vision planning, the states were ready to go back to court. And shared vision planning was certainly an important part of stopping that process and leading them to the development of interstate compacts, which all three governors and the President of the United States signed.
Wierick says the planning technique is also being used in a dispute over the Nile River in Africa. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know I spent two tours of duty at CNN. So here, as a matter of fact, Christiane Amanpour and I, way back in 1984, worked together as writers. And that's back when she said, one of these days I'm going to be a correspondent, you know. She is British and Iranian, American citizen, but she speaks Farsi and French. And so Christiane went to the big time, right? She is CNN's top war correspondent. She says that the press muzzled itself during the Iraq War, and she says CNN was intimidated by the Bush administration and Fox News. That's just astonishing. The CNN was intimidated by Fox News. All of which put a climate of fear and self-censorship into the reporting at CNN. USA Today says, as criticism of the war and its aftermath intensifies, Amanpour joins a chorus of journalists and pundits who charge that the media largely towed the Bush administration's line in covering the war and by doing so failed to aggressively question the motives behind the invasion. Okay, all together now. One, two, three. Duh! No kidding! We've been talking about this for how many months? You've been talking about it for how many months? So now all of a sudden, USA Today discovers that the media in this country was nothing but huge, big, nasty, stinky whores were concerned Bush's war. On last week's Topic A with Tina Brown on CNBC, Brown, the former Talk magazine editor, asked comedian Al Franken, former Pentagon spokeswoman Tori Clark, and Christiane Amanpour if, quote, we in the media, as much as in the administration, drank the Kool-Aid when it came to the war, end quote. Oh, well, it wasn't Kool-Aid to begin with that Jim Jones gave his sick followers down in, what was it, Kathy Guiana? It wasn't Kool-Aid, Tina. But never mind. Amanpour responded by saying, quote, I think the press was muzzled, and I think the press self-muzzled. I'm sorry to say, but certainly television, and perhaps to a certain extent my station, was intimidated by the administration and its foot soldiers at Fox News. And it did, in fact, put a climate of fear and self-censorship, in my view, in terms of the kind of broadcast work we did, end quote. Uh-oh. What's what's going to happen to my former friend Christiane Amanpour, having said that? Huh? Fox News spokeswoman Irina Briganti said of Amanpour's comments, quote,
given the choice, it's better to be viewed as a foot soldier for Bush than a spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda, end quote. How's that, bitch? Huh? How do you like that?
CNN had no comment. It's better to be viewed as a foot soldier for Bush than a spokeswoman for Al-Qaeda. That, oh my God. So what's going to happen? Well, Mike in Orlando says, here are some possibilities. Amanpour, having made those comments, she will be let go due to irreconcilable differences. She will resign for personal reasons. She will be charged by Fox News with treason. Ashcroft will have her sent to Guantanamo Bay as an enemy of the state. She will be accused of helping the Iraqis get rid of the weapons of mass destruction. Christiane. So CNN, the network of record around the globe, was intimidated by Fox News? And CNN has no comment? Well, as you know, or you should know, CNN also had three, count them, three CIA operatives working at CNN. Between my two tours of duty, I wasn't there. $87 billion. That's what the Bush crime family, that's what little Georgie came on television. When was it, Kathy? A week ago Sunday, right? There he was, little scared rabbit George Bush, way, way over his head, telling the American public, well, we need $87 billion. And I got $79 billion from you suckers back in March. I need $87 billion more. He acknowledged that this little war he's got going in Iraq is going to cost many hundreds of billions of dollars. Jesus. Now, remember, Larry Lindsey was fired from the Bush's top economic advisor. Was fired for suggesting the exact same thing. Now, you want some perspective very quickly? I know you all hate this, but I want to do it anyway. $87 billion. This is what the $87 billion that this little twerp in the White House is demanding. Oh, and he'll get it. $87 billion is more than the combined total of all state budget deficits in the United States. Now, of course, the Bush administration has proposed absolutely zero to help states deal with these deficits, despite the fact that the Bush crime family tax cuts drove down state revenues. So $87 billion is more than the combined of all 50 states' combined budget deficits. $87 billion is roughly the total of 2 years' worth of all U.S. unemployment benefits. Right now, the U.S. spends about $50 billion a year on unemployment insurance. At least 1.1 million people have exhausted all of their unemployment benefits without finding a job, and yet Congress has refused to extend benefits. $87 billion is enough to pay the 3.3 million people who have lost jobs, thanks to the Bush crime family's ineptness, pay each one of those people who have lost their jobs $26,363 each. $87 billion is more than double the total amount the government spends on Homeland Security. Eh? Right now, we are spending about $36 billion on Homeland Security. Yet Senator Warren Rudman, a Republican from New Hampshire, wrote, quote, America will fall approximately $98 billion short of meeting critical emergency responder needs for Homeland Security without a funding increase. $87 billion is seven times what the government spends on Title I for low-income schools. $87 billion is 87 times the amount the federal government spends on after-school programs. Oh, let the little bastards wander around the streets. You know, when they can't get an education, can't get a job, we can always put them in the military, right? $87 billion is nine times what the feds spend on special education. Nine times. Making you sick yet? Just a couple more. $87 billion is more than 10 times what the Bush crime family spends on all environmental protection combined. 10 times more. And this little warmongering, murderous twerp who sits in the White House wants $87 billion this month. What's he going to need 3 months from now? 5 months from now, huh? He's already been to the well on this twice, just in supplemental requests. $79 billion, $87 billion. What about the half trillion that we spend on the military already? Who's getting the money, huh? $87 billion is eight times the total for Pell Grants, which is the major college program, a financial assistance program in the country. $87 billion is more than the total cost of the first 3 years of the Medicare prescription drug proposal. How about that? And $87 billion is enough to give every man, woman, and child in America $300. That's what $87 billion is. So there he stood last Sunday night, Sunday a week ago,
We're fighting for freedom and democracy in Iraq, and I will guarantee you.
You put Bush in a room with a map of the world and say, "Okay, George, you got 5 seconds. Point. Here's a pointer. Point to Iraq," and he wouldn't be able to do it. Nathan is calling from New York. Nathan, thanks for that email on the military pay thing. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty insignificant amount of increase because it's going from roughly $9 a day to $17 a day. And to get shot at away from your family, drinking less water than you need in 120-degree heat with body armor, it seems like it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about was something that, you know, the Dick Cheney and Judicial Watch have been having this court battle over the Energy Task Force documents. And everybody knows Judicial Watch, the people who kind of spearheaded the whole getting Clinton in trouble for perjury thing.
Larry Klayman, right?
Yeah, Larry Klayman. And the funny thing is they haven't gotten many documents. Cheney's denied that anyone took any notes in the meetings, or he's denied that anyone has, you know, wrote down who came to these meetings. And so Judicial Watch is continuing to sue him because obviously that's false. And there was some more news on that case today. But the funny thing is the documents they've gotten so far are like the handouts for one of the meetings.
Right.
And in those documents, as you probably know, because this was a couple months ago, there were maps of the United Arab Emirates, maps of Saudi Arabia, and maps of Iraq.
Right.
Then there was a page of foreign companies that were dealing with and could deal with each country, except for Iraq, where there were two full pages.
Right. And who was going to get what?
And who was going to get what, and who was going to be able to explore what unexplored areas of Iraq and things like that. The funny thing is that Iraq was under embargo, so there was no reason to believe that Iraq would be able to export any of the oil that they could have found. And there's also no reason to believe that Saddam Hussein or our laws would let these companies work with Iraq.
So if you connect dot A to dot B...
Yes, it's more or less a smoking gun.
You have an invasion of Iraq.
Planned well before 9/11.
Sure.
And it's amazing that it's not getting any news coverage, but the nice thing about it is I ride transportation a lot, airplanes and trains. You sit down next to one of these American flag-waving people, and they've got a big flag on their chest, and you just talk to them for a while, befriend them, and then point this out. You know, pull out your computer, show them the maps, and say, do you have an explanation for this? Because I haven't figured one out yet. And they just look at you, and they stop talking to you.
And they probably figure that you're either a terrorist or a communist.
I've actually been called a communist.
I bet you have.
It makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, the only communist nation of any size or scope left is China, and China is the chief provider of products for Walmart. And, what's the complaint? Oh, that's right, there's Castro. But to call somebody a communist now is like calling them a wobbly or, a socialist or something, you know? But I guess that the time is rapidly approaching when these people will not call you, for example, Nathan, a communist any longer. They'll just call you a terrorist. They'll say, Nathan, is that an American name? Nathan, that sounds a little bit Middle Eastern.
one more thing. Did you watch the NewsHour with McNeil? They talked about voting machines briefly because of the whole recall stay or whatever, the recall delay.
Right.
But they failed to talk about the bill that could solve the problem, the H.R. 2239, the Voter Confidence Increased Accessibility Act, the one that makes you get a printed record of your vote and then say, yes, this is my vote, and then drop it in a box. I'm amazed that even PBS is unwilling to point out the fact that there's been a bill in the House of Representatives for more than 2 months that could solve all the funny business with voting machines, and yet it's just stuck in committee. And, you know, it's something everyone should care about. Everyone should care about honest votes and being able to get a good count of votes, but it's been stuck in committee and no one's supporting it.
Do you ever get the vague sense of the wind rushing by as we ride this train to political hell? Do you ever get just kind of a phantom feeling that we are watching the destruction of representative
democracy?
Oh, yeah. So do I. Nathan, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Will is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Will.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up?
Just listening to your show and welcome back. It's great to have you back.
Thank you. I always love coming back from vacation. No, I do. I really do.
It's reading the hurricane on the shore.
Yeah, that's true.
The stuff about Cheney and all these abominations with the energy meetings that he had and these maps and just the overt crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take Cheney back, he services basically in the Nixon administration.
Right.
And, you know, he dodged Vietnam by staying in school and then...
Getting Lynn knocked up.
Right. And then, like just like Gingrich did.
Sure.
And, you know, committed himself to a life of service in political science so that he could avoid confronting the wars that he and his ilk would like to profit from.
Right. And are profiting from.
Oh, absolutely. Big time.
Sure. Big time.
And that's why, I mean, there's a new book coming out by a guy named Barr McClellan, who's estranged son is the... press spokesperson for the White House now?
Oh, yeah, Scott McClellan's father.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently, I talked to him this morning, and it sounds like he has the goods on the LBJ role.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I asked him, I told him I'd give him a brief overview of the stuff that I've run past you, and he says none of it is foreclosed by his information that he's sharing with the world.
But he's trying to expose the chicanery and criminality of Lyndon Johnson. Why doesn't he focus on his son's employer?
Well, I think because he has first-person knowledge of Johnson's lawyer who helped arrange all this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the same law firm with him, had personal contact with him in a long legal...
Was that Leonard Garman?
No, Clark.
Clark?
Right.
Okay.
And apparently none of my stuff... is foreclosed by his stuff. I mean, he recognizes that the larger circle that went around it, and part of that circle was Nixon himself, who couldn't remember where he was when he found out Kennedy was shot. He told three different stories, one a taxi cab driver at LaGuardia.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second, Will. We got a break here. We'll come back and finish this up right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
At undisclosed locations to suspend the Constitution and sustain the corporation. Their minutes, notes, and memos can't be shared. And by the way, does anybody know the current whereabouts of Kenneth Lee? National security, of the public scrutiny, policy of legal coup d'etat. Ah, oh, we have a shadow government. Imagine that.
Mom, Dad,
someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. We're talking with Will in Atlanta. Will, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
All right. I like you, hear the bell tolling on the dream, the ideal fulfillment of what America should be and could be, can be.
Yeah.
And I think that if we just focus, get Jim Hightower on board, and like a rifle shot, figuratively speaking, focus on the participants of the Kennedy assassination. We know Nixon was in on it because of his behavior afterwards and what he did, the three different ways he didn't know where he was. And the other one was George Herbert Walker Bush, who can't remember where he was when he heard Nixon was shot, even though he was on the...
When Kennedy was shot.
When Kennedy was shot. I think we can crack this rock, and all that will be, and the veterans that are, know they're being screwed now with the denial of the combat pay, and the people being denied benefits, and everybody else being screwed by this onslaught of evil in our land, is all stemming from our failure to bring to justice the people who killed John Kennedy. If we focus on the proof, we have the evidence that will convince the broad middle of the nation of Bush Sr.'s complicity in the Kennedy assassination, that all that will be left around Cheney and Rumsfeld and all those other Nixon holdovers will be the psychopathic cadre that we can dispense with the help of the army and the police. I mean,
well, yeah, but Will, that's not going to happen.
We have to make it happen.
Well, if you and I, who was it? Was it Khrushchev who asked the question? Or Stalin? How many divisions does the Pope have? How many divisions do you and I have?
Well, I think that, like Jim Hightower says, the American people that are the regular, good, decent Americans are the vast majority. And if we can just, every revolution needs the artists, intellectuals, the military are helpful. And we can do it. I know we can do it because it's true. These people killed Kennedy, sent 58,000 of us to die for a lie. They're lying to us now. We have the energy maps. We know they lied about 9/11. Anybody can look at the Booker Elementary video and see that this man was complicit facilitating this 9/11. And the widows up in New Jersey are presenting a absolutely ironclad case against the Bush administration, the widows of 9/11. So all we have to do is marshal the evidence, and I think that the linchpin on this thing is making people aware of the Bush complicity in the Kennedy assassination.
Well, Will, as you know, and we're out of time here, you know, I always appreciate and respect your determination to try to find the truth. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it.
Quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. We have an email here from our Perth, Australia Bureau Chief also. So stick around. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fun chi la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart. You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time he gets done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The American Civil Liberties Union applauded the decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to delay the gubernatorial recall election in California. Mark Rosenbaum, an attorney for the ACLU, characterized it as a masterpiece.
This decision wasn't written by liberals or conservatives. This was an opinion that was written by patriots.
He said it would have been a travesty of democracy to conduct the recall election with machines that had been recognized as being error-prone and decertified by the California Secretary of State. He coined it as a trapdoor in the ballot box. He said it would have disenfranchised 40,000 California voters from districts with a high proportion of minorities. Israel has taken a step back from formally declaring its intention to kill Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. The country's foreign minister has dismissed remarks by the vice premier, who said an assassination was an option. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council in New York is meeting to discuss the deteriorating situation in the Middle East. Despite the ongoing violence, the UN special representative says the U.S.-backed roadmap peace plan is not yet dead. Nathan King reports from New York.
UN Security Council continued to debate a Palestinian-backed resolution to condemn Israel for recent attacks on its people and the moves by the Israeli cabinet to exile or possibly assassinate Yasser Arafat. The resolution calls on Israel to desist from any deportation or cease any threat to the safety of the Palestinian Authority's president. It's a moderately worded text in a bid to get U.S. backing. The resolution also criticized Palestinian suicide bombers and the Israeli policy of targeted assassinations. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The United Auto Workers have reached a tentative contract deal with Chrysler. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger announced the pact just after a midnight deadline last night. Worker Mario Samonte told WDIV-TV, for the most part, he likes what he's heard of the deal so far.
But what I'm worried about is the job placement, the placement, and moving us from plant to plant whenever they want. I don't know if that's going to work out for us.
The pact is rumored to give Chrysler more job flexibility and the ability to close some plants in exchange for keeping health care benefits and a modest raise. The UAW plans to vote on it by the middle of next week.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tires, or are just tired of looking at white walls, there's no better time to pick up a new set of Goodyear tires than during National Automotive Month at Sears Auto Center. Because Goodyear tires are all on sale. And get a free DieHard Weather Handler battery worth $59.99 when you buy four Goodyear tires. Just bring in your old battery and we'll exchange it free. But only during National Automotive Month and only at Sears Auto Center. Sears, good life, great price. Sale and free battery offer end 8/23. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
Residents along the East Coast are preparing for the arrival of Isabel. The islands along North Carolina's Outer Banks are already being evacuated. Ocracoke Harbor Inn owner Sharon Miller says residents and tourists are already heading inland.
Starting at 12:30 today, they called for a mandatory evacuation. And the majority of the people that were here visiting have left, are in the process of leaving. So the island's getting very quiet.
The Category 4 hurricane is expected to make landfall by the end of the week. Miller says they're bringing everything inside and putting up storm panels. Right now, Isabel's winds are at 140 miles per hour. However, Miller says she plans on staying on the island during the storm. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 23 points to 94.49. The Nasdaq dropped 9 to 18.46. The S&P 500 was down 4 to 10.15. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com and keep it close.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8, but not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Again, a big welcome to radio station WSDS AM 1480, Salem, Detroit, Michigan. It's located near Ypsilanti, near Ann Arbor, near Detroit, near Salem, near all over the place. We are very happy to have the station join us. That's not far from Toledo, is it, Kathy? I wonder if their signal reaches Toledo at night. Then my mommy could listen, and push her right over the edge. My son is doing what? Anyway, if you are in the WSDS AM 1480 listening area, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. As you know, thanks to the internet that Al Gore invented, according to the right-wing freaks who spread rumors as such, the program is carried. This program is carried by various, including IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. By the way, did any of you respond to the fundraising thing that Shelby LePre at RadioPower.org had requested? If you haven't, please go there, RadioPower.org. Check it out, and you know, make a $5 donation. All right. She handles so many people, especially our international audience. First got turned on to this program through RadioPower.org, which is carried by iTunes, and it increased our listenership God knows how much. And because, you know, once again, this is a liberal organization, RadioPower.org, politically. I mean, Shelby carries other programming, too. But it's all, you know, the bandwidth thing, right? Okay, so check it out, radiopower.org. You may want to drop a dime in the collection plate over there, okay? And if you have any cash left over, drop a few bucks at whiterosesociety.org, too, because they archive this program. And Tom Hartman's. Who else? Who else do they archive? Tom Hartman, this program. Who else? Peter Werbe's program on the radio, his Sunday night program. Peter, who used to work at this network, you can still hear Peter by going to whiterosesociety.org if you don't listen in the Detroit area. So if you have a few extra bucks, go to radiopower.org or whiterosesociety.org, or hell, send it to me. You know, I'm just kidding. They pay me five figures here. And that's the truth. Anyway, from our Perth, Australia bureau chief, Fred. Good evening, Mike and Kathy. At the risk of sounding overly cynical, what are the chances that Bush and his friends will invade either Iran or North Korea around the middle of next year? With Bush's approval ratings spiraling into the toilet, this seems like the obvious way to rally the troops, so to speak, to improve his reelection prospects. Fred writes, the current IAEA, International Atomic Energy Administration, activities in Iran may provide the prelude Bush needs to escalate a diplomatic impasse into a full-on war on the politically expedient notion of weapons of mass destruction. Just a thought. And then Fred writes, stay tuned for the adventures of W. Down Under. It will be a truly sickening sight seeing John Howard, that's the Prime Minister of Australia, groveling in the shadow of his legendary hero. By all accounts, it may not be all clear sailing for Bush if he does decide to visit Australia after the APEC meeting in Bangkok next month. I will keep you briefed. Regards, Fred, Perth, Australia, Bureau Chief. Thank you, Fred. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Three quick things. You'd already mentioned quite a bit the $87 billion request a week ago Sunday.
Right.
But the following Monday, so a week ago today, there was a nice article in the L.A. Times that stated that the White House was going to request more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read a little bit here from the time, just a couple sentences.
Okay.
Administration officials said President Bush's emergency spending request still left a reconstruction funding gap of as much as $55 billion. That's the LA Times. I've sent you that in an email that I send out, so you've got a link to that. But that's $142 billion right there, plus whatever else we've already spent.
Well, you know what is interesting about that? At truthout.org, Will Rivers Pitt, who I'm familiar with, editor's note on this article that was in the Seattle Times last Thursday about Rumsfeld saying that the rebuilding of Iraq is up to the Iraqis. Will Pitt writes, George W. Bush recently asked for $87 billion in taxpayer money to fund the ongoing occupation of Iraq. $13 billion is earmarked expressly for reconstruction. Okay, now get this. Rumsfeld says Iraqis, rather than Americans, will have to repair the damage done to their country.
Rumsfeld told the National Press Club audience, this is Wednesday a week ago, I don't believe it's our job to reconstruct that country after 30 years of centralized Stalinist-like economic controls in that country. The Iraqi people are going to have to reconstruct that country over a period of time. And then he added, the infrastructure of that country was not terribly damaged by the war at all. Now, what the hell is going on? You know, Bush wants $87 billion. I thought $76 billion of it, or $74 billion of it, is for Iraq, for reconstruction. $13 billion, I guess. And Rumsfeld is saying, no, it's not up to us to reconstruct Iraq. Hello? Anybody home? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, well.
To add to that, you mentioned a bit earlier about the war profiteering. There's an excellent article in today's Business Week Online talking about outsourcing the war. But one of the things that caught my attention in the article is that there's an estimate that between 20 to 30% of the essential military support services are already being provided by corporate contractors.
Is that the reason our guys can't get a drink of fresh water or insect repellent?
That's exactly repellent? The reason. The yeah. article notes how the mail doesn't get delivered, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And one final thought I have for you is sure. On the comment made by an earlier caller in the last hour about discussions on airplanes and people calling him a communist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would turn around to those same people and say, well, do you buy goods at Walmart?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you're supporting the Chinese economy, so I guess that makes you a communist.
Exactly. But, you know, the person's eyes would glaze over and say, and then they would say, well, then you must be a terrorist.
Well, I always try to turn the tables when I can.
I hear that. How are things going with you, Mark, in Dallas, Texas?
Well, I'm doing fine. Still no job, but that.
Well, that's what I meant. If you had found, found something yet.
Absolutely zero. There's nothing going on.
Are you holding on? I take it.
Oh yeah. I'm holding on.
I know your phone bill's being paid.
Yeah. I can hold on for. Well, yeah. This phone call's being paid for. That's for sure.
Right. Oh, that's right. We pay. What am I talking about? This phone call's being paid, but you have to have phone service in order to make the call. No, I'm just wondering if things had brightened up a bit for you. Nothing yet, huh?
Well, my latest thing is that I've got some magnetic signs like you use for advertising your car doors.
Right.
Made that say I need a job. And I'll forward a picture to you once I get a picture made. I'll get the digital camera and forward it. So that's my latest last gasp effort to self-promote.
I can't wait to see it. Well, hang in there, Mark.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you checking in. All right. I want to talk. Bush was in Monroe, Michigan today, this afternoon, to promote his air pollution plan, this abomination that he calls the Clear Skies Initiative. The corruption and the destruction of language perpetrated by these thugs in the Bush administration is a source of real irritation for me, and it's an ongoing situation. But he went to a Detroit Edison coal-burning power plant in Monroe, Michigan to talk about his Clear Skies Initiative. Let me just share a little bit of this with you, and then back to your calls. Megan Owens, who is the field director of the Public Interest Research Group in Michigan, Megan said today, quote, the government's own data show that nearly 300 people a year will die prematurely from this particular plant's pollution alone, and thousands will suffer asthma attacks, hospital visits, and lost work days. This visit, Megan writes, comes only days after this administration rolled back an important provision in the Clean Air Act called New Source Review. The rollback not only will allow power plants like the one in Monroe, Michigan, to escape cleaning up, but also would allow them to pollute even more. Vicki Levengood, who is the Michigan representative of the National Endowment, the National Environmental Trust, Vicki Levengood said today, it's ironic that the president would choose the plant that pumps out more pollution than any other in the state of Michigan to sell his so-called Clear Skies plan. According to EPA's own analysis of Bush's Clear Skies plan, the Monroe, Michigan plant will not reduce its emissions of sulfur dioxide. In 2001, this plant emitted 102,700 tons of sulfur dioxide. EPA's own analysis of Bush's plan indicates that the Monroe, Michigan plant will continue to emit 102,700 tons of this filth upon full implementation. By contrast, EPA data show that under faithful implementation of the Clean Air Act, Monroe's emissions of sulfur dioxide in the year 2020 would be only 10,000 tons, a 90% reduction in emissions. That is if that part of the Clean Air Act had not been gutted and destroyed by George W. Bush. Tom Joseph, the business manager for the Plumbers and Steamfitters Union in Toledo, Ohio, which is 14 miles south of Monroe, Michigan. Tom Joseph said today, workers upgraded two of the units at the plant so that they would be cleaner. But then the Bush administration came in and let the plant off the hook so they didn't have to upgrade and clean up the other two units. By the way, that laid off almost 900 workers and provides the entire area with dirtier air. Just a couple more here. Dr. Kenneth Rosenman, professor of medicine, board certified in occupational and environmental medicine at Michigan State University. Rosenman has examined the issues regarding this plant in Monroe, Michigan. He said today, quote, the new EPA regulations the Bush administration has issued will make our air dirtier and cause an increase in disease and death in Michigan. We know that air pollution causes increased disease and death, and these new regulations will reduce the progress in cleaning up the air. They will increase emergency room visits, days lost from school and work, hospitalizations, and death in comparison to the EPA continuing on its current course. It just never stops, does it?
Around the golden sun, we are a billion children rolled into one. So when I hear about hole in the sky, salt water wells in my eye.
That one of these days we're going to have brand new types of cars, and we'll be more better at cleaning our air.
We're so ingenious we can walk on the moon. But when I hear about the fall.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs. Like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain."
Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness Crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary. How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect.
Ah! For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
We want to work cooperatively with these countries in their efforts to reduce greenhouse emissions.
It's just gibberish, isn't it? Huh? Every time he opens his mouth, just gibberish. Now, just a couple more here, then back to your calls. Bush, as you know, visited the Detroit Edison coal-burning power plant in Monroe, Michigan, this afternoon to promote his air pollution plan, his death plan, called the Clear Skies Initiative. I've given you some quotes here from Megan Owens, field director of the Public Interest Research Group in Michigan, Vicki Levengood, Michigan representative of the National Environmental Trust, Tom Joseph, business manager for the Plumbers and Steamfitters Union in Toledo, Ohio, Dr. Kenneth Rosenman, professor of medicine, board certified in occupational environmental medicine at Michigan State University. Two more, Kay Doerr, who's chair of the board of the American Lung Association of Michigan. Doerr said today, what Bush has planned will mean, quote, an increase in lung cancer, asthma, emphysema. What people might save in their electric bills, they will end up spending in their health bills, besides the human suffering, end quote. And last, Tyson Slocum, who is the research director for Public Citizen's Critical Mass Energy and Environmental Program. Tyson Slocum said today, quote, Bush has prioritized giving billions away to the coal industry, which is dedicated to polluting Americans' air, and no one benefits more than companies like DTE, that's Detroit Edison, which gave $122,000 to Bush and congressional Republicans since 1999. Bush's coal research initiative will have spent $900 million on even more subsidies to the coal industry for coal technologies that are neither new nor clean. It just doesn't stop, does it? This little jug-eared, inarticulate moron goes to the Detroit Edison coal-burning power plant in Monroe, Michigan today to talk about his Clear Skies Initiative, and the experts, whether they are our union reps or environmental experts or health experts, all say the same thing. What Bush is doing increases death and sickness in this country. And he has the unmitigated gall to stand. Is this an impeachable offense? To stand there and lie through his teeth. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, my God, it's 11:26 Eastern Time, and I don't think I've said it yet tonight, have I, Kathy? Well, that's what happens when you go on vacation. Okay, I hate these people. Oh, my God. Neil is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Neil.
Hi, Mac.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
You know, as fate would have it, on September 11th, I had appointed the VA Medical Center an appointment. And I had to go down to the basement and do some stuff, and I was filled out a form and gave it to the woman while I was sitting there in the waiting room, you know, doing what you do in the waiting room is waiting.
Right.
Someone came in, and there was a conversation going on between he and the woman behind the counter, and my ears perked up because it was negative Bush. And, of course, me being me, I had to jump in and talk about it a little bit. Pretty soon everyone in the waiting room, with the exception of an old Indian fellow who just sat there stoically through the whole thing, were talking about it and agreeing when I threw out, hey, they had ample evidence to stop it before it happened, but they let it happen. Everyone in the room agreed.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. This is in the VA Medical Center.
Now, these are Vietnam-era vets for the most part, or did you have some
gold? One fellow was fairly young. There was an older person there and his kid and two people behind the counter. And they all agreed. And, you know, I asked the one behind the counter, and I said, now, I wasn't really expecting this kind of conversation here when I came down. Is this the way the majority of people here at the VA feel about it? She said, yes, I think so, but most of them won't talk about it. But by damn, I will.
Good for you.
And
hey, Neil, let me get...
That was her saying that to me.
Oh, her saying... Well, hold on a second. Wait.
Sure.
All right, I got a quick break here. We'll come back and finish up the conversation. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You don't want to be late for your golf lesson, or else you'll never learn how to outdrive your girlfriend. So you probably want to make something quick for dinner. Think fast, think eggs. Like poached eggs over French bread topped with your favorite chunky salsa. They're delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you make it on time, the pro adjusts your grip, and now you're driving the ball 250 yards. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast, think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart now faces 37 lawsuits in 29 states over its practice of forcing workers to spend time on the job off the clock. The latest case was filed Friday in Minnesota by four women who claimed they were made to come in early, work late, and skip breaks, primarily to tidy up the store floor. Their lawyers estimate the company squeezed some 500,000 hours of unpaid labor out of its Minnesota workforce in the last 5 years. The women seek class action status on behalf of more than 60,000 current and former Walmart workers. The discount behemoths already settled a similar class action lawsuit in Colorado for $50 million, and another is pending in Indiana.
The fifth ministerial meeting of the World Trade Organization collapsed yesterday under protest both inside and out of the globalization summit. Inside the meetings, talks were scuttled after Kenya's trade minister led a walkout by poor countries over rich nations' farm sector subsidies and export credits.
2 weeks ago, the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, Dick Grasso, found himself in the middle of a firestorm of criticism when it was revealed he's getting a $140 million lump sum payment for his work overseeing the trading operation. Grasso initially claimed to have no say in his pay, that is, until a foot-high stack of documents was unearthed last week detailing how he lobbied for his own windfall. The reason? Grasso told the New York Stock Exchange's board of directors he needed the sky-high compensation in order to remain competitive and respected among the corporate executives he has to work with every day. Making matters worse comes a new disclosure that Grasso was to get an additional $48 million in compensation over the next 4 years. He has since agreed to forfeit that, but stands firm on the other $140 million.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Neil in Albuquerque about his experience at the VA hospital there. So people were in agreement that the Bush crime family are a bunch of thugs.
Certainly. It just kind of surprised me. And then when I brought up the $14.6 billion cut in funding to the VA over the next 10 years, boy, that got some really upset looks on faces. And everybody knew about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that everyone in there agreed. You know, I've been saying since about a month after this thing happened that the Bushes could have stopped it if they had wanted to.
Oh, sure.
And I've been called all kinds of names. You ought to see some of the hate mail. I'm sure you get similar hate mail.
Well, yeah, we get hate mail, but we ignore it. We get nasty comments about us at various websites and stuff like that. But by us, I mean Kathy and me, or you know what we talk about, or our website. But it just comes with the territory.
We just
ignore it.
Yeah, my website's been on since 1992, mm-hmm. putting out alternative information.
Right.
And so I get it. I just gotten to the point where I'll answer them once and tell them I'm not interested in having a battle of wits with an unarmed person. And after that, I put a filter on them and it just goes in the trash.
Yeah, well, that's where it belongs.
Anyway, I thought you'd be interested in hearing.
I hate to put it this way, I hate to frame it this way, but that is good news. That people who are, even though it's veterans in this country who take it in the chops from the Bush crime family, in a more direct way than other administrations, Democrat and Republican, have treated veterans. We all know, I think any of us who have the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk understand how veterans are disrespected once they do the dirty deeds that they are told to go do. But this administration seems just even more blatant in its disrespect and its filthy treatment of people who have been sent to fight and kill and be wounded and die for this filthy administration that exists in Washington now. It's a heartbreaker. Yeah. It's just a heartbreaker.
Well, you know, I joined the Army. I wasn't drafted.
Right.
And I served 3 years, and luckily I was in between wars.
Mm-hmm.
I got out about 2 months before the Gulf of Tonkin resolution happened.
Right.
And thank God.
I hear that.
But that's all I had to say. I just thought you'd be
well, thanks, Neil.
Even excited about it a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. I do appreciate you checking in, pal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have a nice evening. Yeah. Rob is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, Rob.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Hi, this is your former United Kingdom Bureau Chief.
Yes, now, yes it is.
Now exiled in the Banana Republic of California.
Right. Well, it must be a lot of fun living out there, right?
Oh,
now.
My God. It's who would have expected?
I know.
I was calling in because I think that Congressman Daryl Issa needs a really big national coast-to-coast pity party.
Doesn't he? What a wimp. What a crybaby. What a pants-sweating, hair-twisting, thumb-sucking Republican this guy is.
Well, I wanted to mention his quote, what he had to say today. I mean, because I thought this was hysterical.
Oh, this is about the judicial hijacking?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny? Here's a little weasel who tries a blatant hijacking of the will of the people of California in two elections, and he's got the audacity to stand there and call this ruling by the Ninth Circuit a judicial hijacking.
Well, I mean, I thought it was really ironic that he's, like, you know, trying to suggest that, you know, that the judicial system is overstepping the checks and balances of our country by thwarting the will of the people. Because, you know, I mean, the Republicans have never been the beneficiaries of, you know...
of judicial overstep,
of,
right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, overturning the will of the people.
Oh, I've got a date. How about December 12th, 2000? That's a date where I think the Republican thugs in this country got a little bit of a benefit from judicial overstepping of boundaries, huh?
So I think I'd like everybody in the country listening to you right now to just, you know, join in with the big national pity party, okay? One, two, three.
Aww. Well, Daryl Issa, the thing that was most intriguing to me about this thug is that he was busted two or three times for auto theft.
Well, he's not doing such a hot job trying to steal the election of 2002, so he probably needs to go back to stealing cars.
But then he makes his millions upon millions by marketing or inventing and marketing a device to prevent auto theft. I mean, you knew that about Issa, didn't you?
Right, yeah, I did.
Yeah, yeah, he steals cars and then comes up with a deal, some little invention to stop people from stealing cars. Well, I mean, this guy is real scum. All Republicans are scum, but this guy is the scummiest of the scum.
Well, I mean, if he's an expert on devices for auto theft, maybe he helped develop the Diebold machines for election theft.
Yeah, could be.
You know, prevailing upon his, you know, expertise. But one thing I do think is I hope this election stands, although I'm sort of thinking that the five Republicans on the Supreme Court will probably reinstate the October 7th date. I mean...
I wonder. This is an entirely different issue from the theft of the presidency that these bastards perpetrated December 12th, 2000, when they ordered the stopping of the recount in Florida. This is a different case, and I think the case is based on the fact that there is nothing in the California Constitution that allows for a tandem recall. And then the second part of the question is the election of a new governor.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not there. It doesn't exist in California law.
I mean, it's a conflation of two different, entirely different issues.
Exactly.
Whether or not you're in favor or against the recall is a completely different issue from, you know, who you may or may not favor in the event that someone was recalled.
That's right. And it's my understanding, I don't know anything about California constitutional law, but from what I've picked up from this mess, is that if you do recall the governor, then the lieutenant governor becomes the governor. Hello? Just
that
simple.
And it's really unfair because, you know, I mean, all the Republicans, I mean, McClintock and Schwarzenegger, I mean, just by virtue of their being in the race, you can assume that they want, you know, a no vote on the recall.
Sure.
But, you know, look at Bustamante. I mean, he has to wage a dual campaign to say no on the recall, but, you know, vote for me if you do, you know, if you are in favor of the recall. And that's really unfair. I mean, it puts him... You know, in a serious disadvantage, I think.
It does indeed.
But the one thing I think that will come, if the March election, you know, date stands, the one thing I'm really looking forward to is, you know, enough time for it to become, you know, manifest, you know, the degree to which Arnold Schwarzenegger as a gubernatorial candidate is,
is
absolutely... Absolutely vapid, no substance, you know, no ideas, and absolutely does not belong in this race.
Yeah, well, this guy, Schwarzenegger, is tanking anyway. And yes, if the ruling holds, and the next the occasion for this recall is the next primary, which is what did you say, March 9th?
March 2nd, I think.
March 2nd.
Yes.
If that's the case, Schwarzenegger won't even be in the picture anymore.
Well, the Republicans are crying foul because, you know, they're saying, well, you know, I mean, the Democratic presidential primaries on that date, that's going to enhance their turnout and suppress Republican turnouts. And you know what I'm saying? I think it's great. I think it's about damn time we resorted to some of these tactics.
I hear that loud
and
clear.
All right. Well, good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Rob. Don't be a stranger. Call in once in a while.
Well, I'm always on the website.
I hear that.
Okay.
All right. Take care. You have a nice evening. Isn't it amazing the thumb-sucking, bedwetting, hair-twisting, wimp nature of Republicans? All Republicans. No, not just elected Republicans. I've said this before, all Republicans. If your mama is a Republican, too bad. She's a thumb-sucking, bedwetting, hair-twisting wimp.
Ooh.
Talking about your mama. Ruth is calling from Orlando, Florida. Hey, Ruth.
Hey, Mike. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Okay. Well, I originally called because of the gentleman that was calling about the Kennedy assassination way back when.
Yeah, yeah.
But prior to that, too, you had been talking about unemployment and the benefits. And, you know, and earlier tonight I was reading a Molly Ivins article, and it has a quote in there from Tom DeLay from the summer of 2000 when they were trying to get an extension of unemployment benefits.
Right.
Because of all the jobs we were losing. And Tom DeLay, that thumb-sucking, bedwetting, hair-twisting Republican weenie, said, quote-unquote, that he was against it because Democrats wanted, quote, unlimited unemployment so people could stay out of work for the rest of their lives.
Yes, indeed.
Well, my goodness.
Well, this is what happens when you breathe in too much parathion as you're crawling around basements of houses killing vermin environments in Texas. And that's exactly Tom DeLay. I'll bet you if Tom DeLay, when, God forbid, he should die, if they would do some slices of his brain and examine the brain tissue under microscopes, they would find all sorts of damage from all the chemicals he's breathing.
Well, I don't know, because I don't think Tom Feeney was ever a bug crusher, but he's just as bad, not worse. Because I'm from Florida, but when the gentleman was talking about the Kennedy assassination, I didn't want to go back all the way to that. But he brought up the Booker video,
mm-hmm.
the Bush on 9/11. Have you watched that?
I have not.
There's a website called thememoryhole.com.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay, you can watch it from there, and it's absolutely the most bizarre thing you'll ever see in your life, because Andrew Card comes in, goes up to Bush, and says, America is under attack.
Oh, that.
Whispers it in his ear.
Yes, I have seen
that. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
And Bush does nothing. He doesn't turn around and ask a question.
Right.
He doesn't issue an order.
You know why?
The Secret Service. Because it was you want to know, do I know why?
Well, a lot of reasons, but among them is right at that moment, Bush was wetting his pants.
I don't think he was wetting his pants. I think he was sitting there going, they can't say I knew about it because I'm sitting here in a classroom.
Well, that too.
I don't think he was wetting his pants. I think he was doing exactly what he had been told to do.
You're probably right.
I mean, okay, all right, so call me a conspiracy freak. But you're the president of the United States. You don't ask a question. You don't issue an order. You don't do anything. And beyond all, and not just for 1 minute or 2 minutes, for 10 minutes.
Right.
You don't say, have they scrambled the planes?
Well, and you're right. That's because...
And the Secret Service don't come and get him?
Right. That's because Bush knew that everything was going according to plan. The military had been ordered to stand down. These terrorists had absolute control of our skies. And Bush just sat there waiting for the explosions to be over so that then he could run and hide like the coward that he is.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, thememoryhole.com has, you can find it. I mean, I'm sure you could find it from other places, too, but if
there's
nothing I can say about this president that can't be summed up just by watching that.
I know. And yes, you're right. I have seen it, and everybody should go see it.
Yeah. Before November.
Absolutely.
Keep fighting the good fight, buddy.
Thanks, Ruth.
Bye.
All right, you take care. Isn't that video available, or part of that video available, Kathy, at takebackthemedia.com also? I think I posted at my website before we went on vacation a link. I forget how we captioned it. But the video that Ruth is talking about is available, I think, also at takebackthemedia.com, I believe. The one that was one of the founders of that site was our former, he still is, our Long Island bureau chief, Don. Speaking of people we haven't heard from lately, Don, our Long Island bureau chief, our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, our Detroit bureau chief, Todd in Chicago. What happened? Have you people been terminated with extreme prejudice by somebody in the Bush crime family? We need to hear from our bureau chiefs. Bill is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Back from vacation. Hope it was restful.
It was a good time. You had a good time, yeah.
Good. I'm sorry. I do want to talk about the caller right before the top of the hour about the Bush knowledge of the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
What other information is there on that on the web? Do you know of any?
What Will was talking about is there's a whole just a whole collection of literature out there. I can't direct you to a specific website, but if you were to go to if not Google, go to whatreallyhappened.com.
Right.
Or,
and that's, I've been sending you some links.
Right.
On that.
Yeah, you can find it. It's out there. If you do a Google or whatever,
right.
And just type in the keywords, something will pop up, I'm sure. Okay. And maybe Will or somebody will send me a specific link, and I'll post it on my website.
That's great. Okay. That's interesting. I never heard that theory before.
Bush.
It's an interesting theory.
It's my understanding that. Bush was in Pappy Bush was in Dallas that day.
Oh wow!
There's just all sorts of stuff, and when you read it or when you check it out, you can hear the little voices in the back of your head going, conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory. But when you read this stuff and you realize that what is being presented to you is factual information,
right.
you can't help but have one of those oh my God moments.
Right. I know what you're saying, because I had that same feeling on 9/11.
Right.
The day it happened, I said, there's something more than this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
When it happened, I said, my God, there's something more than this. There's got to be. And I got on the internet and I started researching. And it's fascinating, because there's so much information.
That's true.
And I've been, hope you don't mind me sending you the links that I do.
Oh, no, I appreciate it very much, Bill.
And I do appreciate your efforts. And oh, by the way, I don't know whether you got the emails from MoveOn. There's another website that MoveOn is promoting called Misleading Information or something like that. They sent me an email on it, and I'll forward the email to you.
Send me the link.
Yeah, I'll
love
send
to
you
see
the,
it.
And it's called. Something about misleading information that they have, and you might want to post on the website, Tracking Bush's Lies, I think.
Absolutely, will
okay,
do.
I'll forward that to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, and you have a good night, and I'll try to call you tomorrow and win a book.
All right, sir. Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
They've changed their mind.
Want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs, like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Boy, we're just about out of time here. Nelson is calling our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief. Hey, Nelson.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to the radio, and here's this guy going on about all the bureau chiefs that haven't been calling him, and he goes through this long list, and do I hear the Broken Arrow Bureau?
You've called. You've called.
Well, yes. But
you've called within the last 3 months.
I want you to know feelings were hurt.
Oh, poor baby. Poor baby.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough life, but we hang in there.
Well, I know you're there because you are one of the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board, so I know that you're out there. No, Daryl in Detroit, and good God, who is our Washington, D.C. bureau chief?
Well, you know, see, that's the thing.
I'm just drawing a blank on his name. I feel awful.
I can remember a time when you could count them on like two hands, and now you got thousands of them.
Yeah,
but it's so hard to keep track, but I'm glad.
Well, you kind of expect your bureau chiefs to report in once in a while.
Yeah, but, you know, what can I tell you? Anyway, listen, all I'm going to say is I'm so glad to hear you back on the air, because last week was a really long week.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't long enough, my man.
I know. It was short for you, but it was long for the rest of them.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do, right?
What am I going to tell you? Anyway, listen, guy, keep the faith. I'm going to let you go because I know you got to put the wraps on it, but glad to hear you back.
Thanks, Nelson.
Okay, you have a good one.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Nelson is one of how many moderators do we have at MikeMalloy.com? About five or six. And thanks to all of them for if you haven't been to MikeMalloy.com, for heaven's sake, go. Check it out. Go to the message boards. And occasionally the chat room is active, right? I mean, it's available all the time. It's also on the main page is where you find the topics, links to the topics that we talk about on this program. Unlike unnamed right-wing thuggish talk show hosts who just expect you to listen and absorb. I don't think we have time to take another call. I'm sorry if you're on hold and we didn't get to you tonight, try tomorrow night. We'll be giving away Jim Hightower books again tomorrow night, two of them. So probably in the second hour. Again, and welcome to WSDS AM 1480 in Salem, Detroit. We appreciate you folks signing on to the Malloy program. The program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Balecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, MaximumInteractive.com, and Jim in Arkansas, always our Music Bureau Chief. Thank you, sir. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care. And good night, Johnny Cash. Godspeed.
That just could be my life, my final hour.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright
2003.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
two of
by
them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting